Isaiah chapter 1, and I'll draw your attention to verse number 18. Very familiar passage to many, anyway. Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. In that little phrase right there, the three short verses, we see that there's an option. And as I tell people all the time, I do this at the nursing home, I do it in the jail, I don't try to force anyone to believe anything. We're living in America, you can believe whatever you want. It's not going to change what God said, but you can believe whatever you want. And I'm not going to waste an ounce of breath trying to force anyone to believe something they don't want to believe. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And so there is something that almost gets overlooked in the passage because it's broken up a little bit. But if you look in the options that are given here, you're either going to do one of two things with what was just read. You're either going to reason or you're going to rebel. God takes rebellion very seriously. And as I said, you're either going to reason with God and he's perfectly willing to do it, or you rebel. The choice is yours. In 1 Samuel 15, in verse 23, for rebellion, the Bible says, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Talking about Saul there. God wants to reason with us. God is a reasonable God. And if any of you, James said, if any of you lack wisdom, he said, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. So God is the one who says here, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. But see, we want what we want and how we want it now. We don't care what God wants. God wants to reason with us this morning. And to reason is, by definition, to debate, to talk over or inquire by discussion or mutual communication of thoughts, arguments, or logic. In Proverbs chapter 1. Now, Jesus called this man a wise man. I would agree. Solomon was a very wise man. And it says in Proverbs 1 in verse 23 to 26, turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You know why? Because he called and you refused. God wants to reason. He's very reasonable. Let's sit down and discuss this. But you know what? It doesn't have anything to do with what you think and what I think, how I feel and how you feel. God's word is the authority. And God can show, and other Christians can show, and the preacher can show you in the word of God what God said. That's why I don't spend a whole lot of time telling you what I think or how I feel. Because it doesn't really matter what I think or how I feel. And if somebody can show me from the word of God something that I think or feel, and it's contrary to this book, I'll change because it's my authority. But he said, because I called and you refused, he said, I stretched out my hand. He said, but no man regarded. That's the day we live in today, folks. People don't care what God has to say. Isaiah prophesied an awful lot of things. And one thing that he says that is just reasonable. Come and talk to God about it. Stop trying to find your own way and do it your way, all that. Come and talk to God. He'll talk to you. He presents it. You can choose whatever you want. But if you're going to go against what he said, then you're going to be a rebel. And we've already seen how God deals with rebels. He'll let you have it your way. But I think you'll be upset that you did. Hebrews 2 and verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by them that heard him? Truth is, you won't escape. You won't. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Salvation is spelled out in the Word of God. Paul told Timothy that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, which is by faith in Christ Jesus. Well, I just think, well, help yourself, but you're making a grave mistake. You're making a grave mistake. When we see this passage right now, in verse number 18, this is what he says, this is how he wants us to reason. Again, do whatever you want. What you do has no bearing on me. I said this Friday in the nursing home. I love to see the look on people's faces when I say it, because I sound like the most egotistical, obnoxious dude in the world when I say, you're looking at somebody that's going to heaven when he dies. I'm not trying to go to heaven. I'm not working my way to heaven. I'm not hoping and praying that I'm going to heaven. I'm going. I'm going as if I'm already there. And there's nothing, you really put the icing on the cake when you say, I'm hell proof. I couldn't go to hell if I wanted to. You say, how do you know they don't agree? You can see it in their eyeballs. They're like this big. But God says, he says, let me give you what he has to say here in the reasoning process. You can rebel or you can reason with him. But he says, the first thing he does is he pleads with us. He said, come. Come. And you know what? Jesus said in Matthew 11 and verse 28, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, so I'll give you rest. The invitation is there. He's pleading with man, just come. In Revelation 22 and verse 17, we're talking about the winding down of the Bible. You would think God might be saying things like, I love you, see you. No, he's still pleading with man. He says in Revelation 22, 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And he that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? I am. Psalm 66 and verse 5 said, come and see the works of God. In John 1, in verse 44 to 46, you know, when Jesus was gathering up his ragtag bunch of, in some case, I guess we could call them rebels. But it says, now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write. Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? I mean, it had a reputation. And he said, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And you know what Philip said? Come and see. Come and see. So a lot of people say, well, I'll, I'll come, just not now. Another time. Well, notice what Isaiah said here. He said, come now. Come now. You know, in 2 Corinthians 6, in verse number 2, the Bible said, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know what delayed obedience is? It's going to shock you. Disobedience. Right? I mean, doesn't that make sense? They call it in legal terms, it's called a rolling stop. In other words, you reach a stop sign and you don't stop. You just kind of roll through. And so you say, well, no, I stopped. No, you didn't. You may have slowed down a bit. You know, you may have looked, you may have done all the things associated, but you didn't come to a stop. So, you're disobedient. In Mark 4, in verse 16, the Bible said, and these are likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately received it with gladness. I understand that not everyone is going to probably believe the gospel the first time they hear it. I did. And I don't doubt for a second that God was using all kinds of things to get me to that point when it happened. But the very first time I heard the gospel, it was like, that's for me. My wife said the same thing. We were together. Husband and wife. Saved at the same time. January 29th, 1985. About 8:45 at night. At night. It was 8 degrees outside. Some nice guy was out knocking on doors. I said, I was a soul winner's dream. I opened the door and he's standing there stumbling all over himself. And I said to him, you got to come in here. You're letting all my heat out. I've never had anybody say that to me when I was trying to witness to him. But I'm sure I'm glad he was there. I'm sure I'm glad that God worked it out to where I didn't say to him, come back in the spring. I recognize this is it. It's probably now or never. And so Isaiah is saying here, he says, he's pleading. He said, come. And how does he say to do it? He said, now. In Matthew 4 and verse 19 and 20, Jesus, when he was gathering together all of his apostles, he said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. You know what straightway means? Immediately. They didn't say, well, let me, matter of fact, Jesus even tells a story about another group that he dealt with. And one guy said, well, let me go home and bury my father first. I was like, well, isn't that a good excuse? Well, yeah, if he was dead. But there's no indication his father was dead. He was just putting it off to some other time. How many times do you hear the word of God and the gospel message preached and God's begging you to reason with him and you just rebel? You stick your fingers in your ears. You turn around. You get white knuckled on the pew. Carly can play 27 verses of Just As I Am and you won't budge. Happens all the time, folks. Either you're going to be reasonable or you're going to be a rebel. We see the petition. The petition, we saw the plea and the promptness, and now the petition. He said, let us reason together. How many times have you ever heard someone say to you, that's just your interpretation? Well, is it? If the Bible said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, if I were to say, I think that's all, Is that my interpretation? Or is that what it says? If God said, if we'd believe on Him, He'd give us everlasting life. Is that my interpretation, or is that what He said? I'll tell you what. I've learned that every one of us is believing something, trusting something, clinging to something. I think it's just reasonable to believe God. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, let God be true and every man a liar. In Titus 1 and verse 2, the Bible said, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Do you believe God's lying to us? Because the thing is, people will say, well, that book was written by man. All right? What book are you trusting in? Think about it. If this book was simply written by man and was filled with all the errors that people say it's filled with, I usually say to somebody, show me one. Guess what? No one ever does. they're just mimicking something, you know, they're just parroting whatever somebody else said. They don't know. I had a guy tell me one time, he said, that's your interpretation. I said, really? I said, have you ever read it? He said, no. I said, well, read it. You'll find out it's what it says. I don't know why people are so afraid to reason with God. I'm not going to match my wits against God. How I feel and what I think is irrelevant. We're all trusting in something. If I went around the room right now and said, if you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? Almost everyone in this room, with any sense, you're in a church, so I'm going to guess that you probably don't think you're going to hell. And if you said, well, I think I'd go to heaven, and I said, based upon what? You would all be able to fill in the blank with something. You'd say something, you'd give some reason why you think you're going to heaven. This is my reason right here. Jesus Christ came into the world as the Savior of mankind. He suffered, He bled, He died. He paid my sin debt in full. I'm trusting what He did. You're trusting in what? That you came to church today? The back chairs probably have four devils sitting in it. Whoop-de-doo. It doesn't have anything to do with where we go. It doesn't have anything to do with what you think or how you feel. There's got to be a basis for our salvation. And it's the blood of Jesus Christ. Because that's the predicament that man's in. We've seen thus far, we've seen the plea and the promptness and the petition, but the predicament. Notice he says there, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord, though your sins. Salvation's all about sin, folks. It has nothing to do with where you want to go when you die. God could take all the rocks, all the pebbles on the planet and turn them into the children of God if He wanted to. He doesn't need us to populate heaven. Somehow we think that poor little God, this lonely old chap up in heaven, just hoping and begging us to be nice and join Him one day. No, we're the ones that need Him.
Amen.
Our predicament is we're sinners. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Buddy, that's you and that's me. And I told the people at the nursing home on Friday, I said, when God said, can I have all the sinners line up in this line? I said, I'll go right in that line. And they just looked at me like, you shouldn't get, don't get in that line. Why not? Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Were you going to get in a line of self-righteous people? You'll bust hell wide open. Ecclesiastes 7:20 says, for there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. See, there's only one way that you'll be able to reason these things if you just sit down and talk to God about it. Because otherwise, you'll just match wits with some other nitwit. Yeah, what do you think? Well, I think you do the best you can, you'll be all set. Yeah, I thought the same thing. I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. That's what's happening with people. They need to sit and reason with God. This is a faithful saying, Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:15, worthy of all acceptation. You know what that means? You ought to accept this. It's worthy of it. He said that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And then Paul really put the icing on the cake. He said, of whom I'm chief. Well, folks, if the Apostle Paul is the chief of sinners, I don't know where that puts you and me. Somewhere down the road. Romans 5 and verse 6 to 8 says, for when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then we see the promise. We've got God's word on it. God promised us. Have you ever noticed that politicians make all kinds of promises and then they don't keep them? And we go, oh, I think he was going to keep it anyway. If God makes a promise, keep in mind, he's going to keep it. He's going to keep it. Like what promise? Well, in Hebrews 7 and verse 25, it says that he's able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. No matter who you are, God can save you from the lowest, the low down sinner that you are. Even if you're not the worst sinner in the world, he can reach down further than mankind could ever sink. Amen. And save them. The Bible said in Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. I love taking God's promises at face value. In John 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. He said there, he's going to give me eternal life. That's life that lasts forever. And I'll never perish. And you know what many people will say immediately? They'll go, yeah, but what if? There are no yeah, buts or what ifs. I'll never perish. And if I do, then he lied. And if he's lying to us, then eat, drink, and be merry. In 1 John 5 and verse 10 to 13, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar. Right? I mean, you basically say, if you don't believe what God said when you reason with him, then you're calling him a liar. He said, and this is the record, that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I believe, I'm just saying this off the top of my head, and it could be off by a one or two or whatever, but I believe there's 19 words in that verse. It says, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. They're all single syllable words. You really got to be a dimwit to not figure that out. He said, if you got the Son, you got life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. And then he said, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I know I got eternal life, folks. I'm not bragging on it because it had nothing to do with me. But you're not going to rob me of what I know I have. You're not going to make me feel guilty about what I have. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hot dog. That's what I did. I read this illustration. I'll give it to you. We'll be done. You read illustration. You know, people write books on all this stuff, and I don't know. Maybe it's true. Maybe it's not. But it's a good story. Back in August of 2004, many signs and billboards in the path of Hurricane Charley were met with, you know, the storm as it approached, and they were no match for the storm. However, one billboard resisted the hurricane's 100-mile-an-hour winds, and while the billboard still stands, the advertisement that was there when Hurricane Charley hit was peeled back to reveal an earlier message. When the sun arose the next morning on Sand Lake Road in Orlando, the words on the billboard clearly read, "We need to talk, God." Now, can you imagine if all of a sudden a hurricane hits and it peels back, and all of a sudden people are now looking at this billboard and it says, "We need to talk, God"? Would you reason then? Would you listen then? You see, in the Bible, rebellion is wicked. Reasoning is wise. God said, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." I like what Joshua said. He said, "If it seem evil unto you," he said, "choose you this day whom you will serve." But he said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And you can be a rebel if you want. Has no bearing on my eternal soul. Boy, I'll tell you what, I would highly recommend that you reason with God. And then I've told many people, I've given out a lot of gospel tracts over the years. And I've even been so confident to hand one to somebody and say, "I'm not going to pressure you or anything, but when you get a chance, read this. And when you read it, pray and ask God, is this true or not? And if God tells you it's not, throw it in the trash can." That's the confidence I have in the Word of God.